إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, if there is one proof that Islam is a religion of love, a religion of concern for others, a religion of compassion, then that proof is the focus that there is in Islam on Dawah. The Dawah is the single biggest proof that the Muslim's primary duty is to be concerned about the other. And the other, not even Muslim. The other who is somebody who does not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what is the meaning, wallahu alam, of watawasu bilhaq, the sign of the successful people, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati watawasu bilhaq, watawasu bil sabr. So watawasu bilhaq is to invite towards the truth. Why invite towards the truth? What do we get? If you invite somebody, what do you get? Nobody pays you money for it. Nobody gives you, some brownie points. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased. But that matter is only something a person of iman has the yaqeen of that. Other than that, what is the use? What is the benefit? If you look at this whole issue of inviting towards the truth, the whole issue of dawah, I'm not talking about the song and dance circuses that are done in the name of Islamic conferences today, focused on making money out of Islam. I'm talking about the real work of dawah, going from door to door, hitting the streets, wearing out your shoes. And then, at the end of that, not only do you not get any money for it, you actually spend your money doing all this. Not only do you not get money, you don't even get thanks. And a number of times you get reviled, you get abused. Why? Because you tried to save somebody from the hellfire. So for that you should get abused. But this is what happened to the Anbiya. All the Anbiya. And most of all Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did they get abused? Why did they get tortured? Well, many of them were killed. For what? Whose rights did they usurp? Who did they murder? Whose property did they steal? What did they do? Which Nabi was a thief? Which Nabi was a murderer? Which Nabi was somebody who ate up someone's land? Yet they were reviled and abused. Why? For what? We live in a world which is so materialistic. And this is also a sign of materialism. That if you give a dry piece of bread to a dog, you are seen as a good person. And alhamdulillah, it's a good thing to do. It is a good thing to do. I don't deny that. If you feed one poor person, you are seen as a good person. If you feed more people, and if you do things for the benefit of people, worldly benefit, fill their stomach, put clothes on their bodies, give them education, whatever, then you get this Nobel Prize and that Nobel Prize and whatnot. But if you are concerned about the spiritual benefit of people, nobody cares two hoots. And not only do they not care two hoots, but they actually abuse you and revile you and torture you. Because spiritual benefit has no meaning. We live in such a materialistic world that spiritual benefit has no meaning. But this is the exact opposite of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, and that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya. As I said before, no Nabi came to teach a new way of agriculture or a new business model or a new form of government. The Anbiya came to connect the abd to the rabb. They came to give us food for the soul. And that is not because they are not concerned about the material things, but they are concerned, but they know that the secret. The secret is that material, real material benefit. Real material benefit can come only out of first spiritual development. Imagine we are a materialistic society. Instead of being a materialistic society, if we were a moral society, what would happen? Would we starve to death? No. We would still have our factories, we would still have our businesses, but they would be run on morally sound principles. They would be run in ethical ways. They would not be run only to make profit, irrespective of the cost. They would be run with concern and compassion for the people, for the environment, for society. We would not indulge in advertising which destroys the moral fabric of society. We would not exploit women in our advertising and call it freedom of women. We would not sell cigarettes, we would not sell alcohol, at the same time talking about the evil of drugs. What is alcohol? Not drug? Is it a health food? What are cigarettes? Weight loss treatment? Yeah, you lose weight if you get cancer. I mean, that's one way of losing weight. Smoke cigarettes until you get cancer, then you lose weight very fast. Just imagine, why is all this? Because morality has no meaning. Ethics have no meaning. What's only making money, whichever way. Whichever way. And so we have our society. But imagine this society if it was a moral society. You would still be wealthy, but you would be concerned about the poor in your society. You would have safety because one person is not trying to use up the rights of another person, so the other person has no reason to kill you, to beat you. Today in this country we have the police forces arrayed against the Naxalites. But who is there against those people who create Naxalites by taking away the lands of the poor farmers, by oppressing them, by raping their women, by destroying their villages? Who is against them? So who is the culprit, the Naxalite or the one who created the Naxalite in the first place? Now, I'm saying all this because all of this is watawasu bilhaq. All of this is watawasu bilhaq. Watawasu bilhaq is not simply calling people and saying, please come for salah. And people get mistaken. They think that if you call people for salah, that you are doing some, worthless thing. No. Salah is the foundation. You call people to Islam because that is the foundation. At the end of the day, unless a person accepts that he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu one day. Unless he accepts that, he has no sense of accountability before Allah. So he thinks he can get away with whatever he is doing. That's the reason. He thinks he can get away with what he is doing. But unfortunately, reality does not depend on belief for its existence. Whether you believe or you don't believe makes no difference because what is going to happen is going to happen. And that is what tawasu bilhaq is about. Tawasu bilhaq is to invite people toward the haq, and the haq is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلِقَاءُكَ haq. The meeting with you is haqq. And when the person accepts that, then the person says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then he designs his life in a way which is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the greatest proof that this religion is a religion of love. because this religion seeks to invite people towards the Haqq, to remind people that they are accountable to Allah, and therefore to invite people to change their lives and their society in such a way that it becomes a moral and ethical society. And who benefits? Do you get material benefit out of this or not? You get big time material benefit. You get real benefit. Today we do not have material benefit. We are the victims of materialism. We are like people suffering from a disease, from a rampant disease, from an epidemic, from a disease of epidemic proportions. Materialism. Everybody, our children, our young and old, are stuck in this trap of materialism. Islam seeks to remove this by reminding that all of this is going to be left behind. All of this will be left behind. So what are we preparing for? That meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not sufficient to say that we accept that death can come at any time. Not sufficient. Because if in fact this is the case, if we really believe that death can come at any time, then the next question is, what have I prepared for that time? What am I planning to take with me when I go on that journey? Because it makes zero sense. If we say, yeah, no, of course, death can happen at any time. What have you prepared? Nothing. Then, and don't fool yourself by saying that, oh, but you see, Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. Allah is Ghafurur Rahim only for you? Allah was not Ghafurur Rahim for the Sahaba? Allah was not Ghafurur Rahim for Rasulullah sallallahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not Ghafurur Rahim for the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu anha, to whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will not stand before your Rabb as the daughter of Muhammad, you will stand on the basis of your own amal. So prepare for that day. Allah is not Ghafurur Rahim for them, He's only for you. Amal ki baat kare to, aray sahab, hum ka amal, hum to Allah ki rahmat. Tum Allah ki rahmat pe to Allah ke Nabi kai pe the? Sahaba kai pe the? Allah ki rahmat tumhare waste khali. Unke waste nahi thi. All their lives they spent preparing for the day of judgment, preparing for their mouth, preparing for their death. They actively took away from their dunya and invested in their akhirah. We do the opposite and then we say, oh, but Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. I am not denying the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am just saying that stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ is to invite towards the Haqq. Of course, there are consequences of that. Tomorrow we'll talk about that. But وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ is inviting towards Haqq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us, first of all, to invite ourselves towards Haqq. And then to invite others. And to save us from the evil of our own souls. And to save us from our own nufus. And to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him. And to save us from that which is not pleasing to Him. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ